Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. The vital passage. Now I want to stress this. This is the key passage. This plays such a vital, such a paramount part in this whole gospel ministry of Christ. The vital passage, Mark 2, 1 to 12. I've been claiming, haven't I, several discourses now, that Christ works these miracles not simply out of compassion, not simply out of exercise of power, but as a vindication, a confirmation of his ministry, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, come with this power, but also as a sign, as a wonder, to illustrate the gospel, to make it clear to people that he's not here simply to make the blind see, but the spiritually blind to see. Not simply to raise the dead, but to raise the spiritually dead. Not simply to make the deaf hear, but to make the spiritually deaf awakened to Christ and the gospel and so on. So it's a confirmation of this gospel. It's the vindication of this person and this great ministry. You get it in Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Now, I've been making these claims, but here in this passage, here is the place where Christ proves it beyond any shadow, any vestige of doubt at all. Let me go straight to the heart of it. You see, this, what's happening here, Christ has gone back to Capernaum, back to his hometown, and he's in a house here. The people are pressing all around him. They want healings and so on. Some men bring a paralytic, you know, and they can't get to Christ because there's such a crowd around him, so they break into the roof and lower the litter that they got this man upon. They lower that down before Christ. And Christ says this, that when Jesus saw their faith, you get it in verse 5, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then we get a very interesting section. You know, we were taken into the private conclave of the Pharisees here. These fellows in the law, the teachers of the law, and they're thinking, well, this fellow, well, how can he forgive sin? Well, what's all about then? Is this blasphemy and so on? Now, Christ knows this, and he raises it. I said, I know what you're thinking. And he said, why are you thinking this? Now, look, there's two things. So I can say to this paralytic, rise up and walk. I can say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. Now, which is the easier? Well, of course, it's easy to say sins forgiven, and to make the paralytic walk immediately. That's, you can see that. Forgiving sins is invisible, you might say, right? He said, which is the easier? Well, of course, obviously, sins forgiven. But that you may know that I have the power, the right, that I have the authority. He turned to the man, he said, get up. And the man got up. Proving and demonstrating, not only had he the power over the paralytic and then his paralysis, but supremely he had the power to forgive sins. This is not a little carpet tack. This is a 6-inch nail driven right in and clenched over. I'm using an illustration of Spurgeon there. This is fixed and nailed now. Look at the detail. Yes, preaching. Christ comes preaching. Is that important? Yes, you get it here, verse 2. And he preached the word to them. Yes, I must preach in these places. Preaching, yes, very important. I'm not underestimating it. These miracles, the power to heal and so on. Yes, the wonderful teaching, the parables, and so on. Yes, but have you got it? The right, the authority, this is the principal thing, the right, the power, the authority to forgive sins. All power is given unto me, Matthew 28, verse 18. This man forgives sins. There is salvation in no other, except this man, Acts 4, verse 12. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, John 6. John 14, 6. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father. That's talking about salvation, justification, right in the sight of God. That's what we're talking about, forgiveness of sins. We're not talking about taking away misery or getting a new self-esteem and all that kind of nonsense. We're talking about right before God. I have the power to take men who are dead in sins and make them live, to forgive their sins, to clothe them in my righteousness. Now, he's preaching about that. He's demonstrating it in miracles. He's going to go to the cross supremely and earn it and merit it by offering up his perfect life, obedience to the Father, in the sacrifice to bear the wrath of God and propitiate it for sinners. Now, unbeliever, this is the great thing. It's not Christ your example. It's not your happiness. It's not your self-esteem that he offers. He offers this to put you right before God, to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. That's what you need. You're under the wrath of God. We're sinners, all of us, under the wrath of God. And only Christ in his blood and righteousness can wash us from our sins and clothe us so that we're perfect in God's sight. I hope, unbeliever, you know that. No, I hope, I pray, I urge you, I press you, trust the Savior and experience it. Can I just read a few verses to you? He is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. He died for sinners. He was buried for sinners. He rose for sinners, Romans 4:25. He ascended for sinners, and now he intercedes for sinners. So trust this Savior, I urge you. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that since he has now died as a ransom to set sinners free from the sins that they had committed, you see. And then again, now he has appeared once for all in the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ was once sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. There is the truth. I was reading there to you from Hebrews chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 9. It's all settled now in Christ. All receive this finished work and this finished complete work in this total Savior, the great Redeemer himself. So I hope, unbeliever, that you will come to Christ. A word to every preacher. I hope you're preaching this, my friend. Not self-esteem, not happiness, not churchianity, not religion, but Christ, the power and the right and the authority to forgive sins. Oh, may God bring us to that place. Listen to Richard Burnham. Great are the glories of the Lamb, supremely great his reigning name, his wondrous person how divine, his works and ways how bright they shine. Whene'er he speaks, how great his words, great is the peace his truth affords, great are the beauties of his face, and great the riches of his grace. Listen to this. Great are the triumphs of his power that shine in each delivering hour. Great are the blessings he bestows, so truly great no mortal knows. How great the virtues of his blood, thousands at once it brings to God. Great are the healings of his grace, to all the poor backsliding race. The numbers great he freely saves, nor his dear saints he ever leaves. The Savior's greatness they proclaim, and greatly praise his glorious name. Well, I've tried to praise the Savior's greatness, preach it, and declare it. It is here that you may know that I have power to forgive sins, the right to forgive sins. Oh, may that power be exercised now. As Cowper said, Lord, descend and make 1,000 hearts your own. May many, many come to Christ, even as a result of this feeble little discourse. Amen, amen.